Indeed, this is a Sunday evening that many of us look forward to, a time of singing hymns together and some good food and fellowship. But before we do that, I shall make a few remarks out of a passage of Scripture found in 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Before we look at a few words out of this historical event, again, let us pray and ask for the Lord's help. Our Lord God, we thank you for your marvelous word. Oh, what rich truth you set before us. Oh, Lord, things completely beyond our comprehension. You tell us about yourself. You tell us about your ways. But yet again, you so instruct us as regards everyday affairs and how we should conduct ourselves. And so tonight, as we look at your holy word, we ask that you would help us to understand. And the Lord God, you would press down upon us this truth, further our sanctification, help us to be better equipped to handle the affairs of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever said with reference to someone, man, he's got a real mess on his hands. How is he going to handle that mess? Or maybe you've made a confession about yourself and said, oh boy, I've got a real mess on my hands. Oh Lord, help me. Well, most of us here know what it is to have to face a mess a time or two in our lives. And tonight we look at a man who's facing a mess, a man who's entering into a new phase of his life, something I would assume he has looked forward to. It's been a number of years. And of course, I refer to David and entering in publicly to this matter of being a king over Israel. And so I shall read this evening the first seven verses of 2 Samuel 2. It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? The Lord said to him, go up. David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh-Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. Amen. And so as we try to gain some knowledge and helpful things out of this passage, I think it'd be most beneficial if we consider, first of all, the preceding context. Reviewing the preceding context. You notice how the opens up in my translation, it happened after this. Well, what happened before this? Well, you remember that David received news that Saul and Jonathan had been killed. He had been over fighting against the Amalekites. He comes back to Ziklag and he receives the news. This news comes to him by way of what I consider to be a lying Amalekite. He lied in the sense that he told David how he was involved in a merciful way putting Saul to death, which he did not do, although there was proof that Saul indeed was dead because of the crown and because of that bracelet. And so in order to get what the historian himself said, I go back and I pick up out of this first chapter of Samuel. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag, The third day it happened, a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said, "Where have you come from?" So he said to him, "I've escaped from the camp of Israel." And David said to him, "Please tell me this matter. Please tell me." And he answered, "The people have fled from the battle. Many of them have fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead." And then he inquires of the young man, "How do you really know this?" But then you go back to that 31st chapter out of 1 Samuel, and you pick up a few things different that will be told. And we pick it up here in verse 5, "And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those that were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them." And so here is David. He receives this information about the death of Saul, and he reacts differently, I'm sure, than what the Amalekite thought he would. And so he tears his clothes, he weeps, he mourns. And so he writes this lamentation, bringing forth the good things, the good qualities that Saul had done for the nation. And then you might think here, Saul is dead, Jonathan is dead, David has been anointed as king of Israel. God sent Samuel, you remember, to do that. So doesn't it seem like a very simple but a reasonable thing for David immediately to cross over the border, go to Judah, and say, "Here I am"? Doesn't that sound reasonable? Well, to us it might, but what does David do? Well, we move from the preceding context to consider David seeking counsel from the Lord. So you notice, after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "Where shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." And so here is David. And David seems to be getting back. You remember, it used to be that he was always inquiring of the Lord. He had a priest with him. And that priest, you know, would bring forth that Urim and Thummim, and they would inquire of the Lord. That's how the way the Lord would give revelation to his servants. And so you go back to chapter 23, when David knew that Saul plotted evil against him. He said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me? Yes. Should I do this? Yes." And so here is David inquiring of the Lord exactly what he should do. And then you have it coming out again when you look at the 30th chapter. And in verse 7, it comes out this way when David is threatened by his own men. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord. And so here is David. I think he's gaining his spiritual strength back. He's inquiring of the Lord before he does anything, but before he does something that just seems very reasonable to do. And maybe this is emphasized because you remember we brought it out more than once when you look at 1 Samuel 27. Verse 1, "And David said in his heart, Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should have speedily escaped to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." You notice? David said in his heart. He inquired of his own heart what he should do. But now what do we have David doing? Inquiring of the Lord. And so there's the simple lesson here. Before we make any kind of a major decision, should we not seek the face of the Lord? Should we not engage in prayer? Should we not search out His Word? Should we not ask some mature Christian for some kind of advice? Isn't this what the Lord tells us to do? Are we not to be a people who pray without ceasing? Are we not to pray about all things? And of course, there's encouraging words that come from our Lord as regards this matter of prayer. You look in that 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, And what does the Lord say? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask? And so there is an encouragement for us to pray, to seek the face of the Lord as regards our decisions, especially those big, big decisions that we need to make. And then those words from James, you remember in that opening chapter what he has to say. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him." And so here he's speaking about, we do have our trials. What should we do? Well, we should pray to the Lord that we might act in a mature way. That's what he's talking about. Mature way. How often, to our shame, in the midst of a trial, we act so immature. We act like fussy little children. We complain and we whine and we look at our navel. No. Pray to the Lord for wisdom, for direction, that you might act like mature people. And so here is David. What does he do? Well, he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord gives that answer. You notice, David says, "Do I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" The Lord said to him, "Go up." Well, there's a lot of cities in Judah. And so David inquires again, "Where shall I go up?" He said, "To Hebron." And so maybe there's a little hint here. As the Lord leads us, as the Lord guides us, as the Lord answers prayer, maybe he gives us something kind of general, and then he gives something more specific. Does that sound reasonable in the leading of the Lord? He doesn't tell you everything at once. No, general answer, and then a specific answer. There seems to be this progress that is adhered to here. And so here is David. He inquires before he makes any kind of a big decision. But there's something else here. And I think of it this way. Here is David. Man, if you get over into Judah, I mean, look, Saul's army, most of it was destroyed. They're scattered. The Philistines have entered into the land, and the people are forsaking their villages, their towns, their houses. I mean, they've got to get out of there, else the Philistines will kill them, or the Philistines will enslave them. And so, David, you go back in there, and you've got this mess on your hands. You're going to have to get the army back together. You're going to have to defeat and to drive out those Philistines for the sake of the citizens. But there's something else. David doesn't know it right then, but this is a situation where God is going to give him one trial right after another. And sometimes he does that to us, doesn't he? Just one trial after another. So he's got this mess. He's got these Philistines in his land. He's got to drive them out. He's got to get the people back. But then you look at verse 8, "But Abner the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army." So there's going to be a division. It's not going to be easy. But we need to remember something, don't we? God doesn't call us to ease, does he? He calls us to deal with messes. He calls us to deal with difficulties. And you remember what the Lord said to us through the Apostle Peter. He put it forth this way, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And so you see, we are called to follow Christ, and sometimes we are called for suffering. And that call comes to us, and what is the true disciple? Well, he's one who denies himself. He is one who seeks to follow the Lord. And when you seek to follow the Lord, there can be a lot of difficulties. It can come from the old family unit. And you know, in Luke 14, it speaks about you love father, mother, wife, anyone more than me. You can't be my disciple. I've got to be number one in your life. And when you seek to give God number one in your life, it can cause some trouble. You might have a mess on your hands. And so here is David. The anointing oil is upon him. Was there ever a thought in his mind that, well, you know, Ziklag's not so bad. And I do get along with the Philistines, and maybe I could stay here and see my children and my grandchildren. Because if I cross over that border, I've really got a fight on my hands. But David had that anointing oil upon him. David was Yahweh's man. And so he was going to go and face the difficulties. And so the Lord God does not call us to ease. He calls us to fight, you see. And so here is David. But then we look again at our verses, and what do we have? Well, we have David giving a commendation. He commends these people of verse 6. In verse 5, actually, David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "You are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. Also, I will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now, therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant for your master. Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." Well, what's involved here? Well, he commends the men of Jabesh-Gilead. For what had they done? Well, they took Saul and Jonathan's bodies down from the wall of a Philistine city, brought them and buried them. And so David commends them for that. Add to that, he says, "You were faithful to Saul. He was your king. He was your master. And I want you to know that I am king now, and I don't want you to fear the Philistines that they might retaliate in some kind of way. No, I am here to give you protection." So I ask, well, what is this all about? Well, David is simply letting it be known that he had no bitter, hateful feelings in his heart towards Saul. And add to that, he was letting it be known that he was starting off his kingdom rule not to be vindictive or to punish those who had been faithful to Saul. In other words, he starts off his kingdom. It's going to be one, hopefully, of peace. I'm not going to take vengeance upon those who in any way supported Saul. And so here, a little episode in the life of David. Well, can we gather anything together that might help us in the coming week? Well, we've already touched upon them, so we'll take a string and tie them together. And first of all, we remind ourselves, when we're faced with decisions, we need to pray. We need to pray. And it could be this coming week. It could be you even know right now you've got to make some decisions. Have you prayed to the Lord? Have you sought His face? Have you searched His Scriptures? Does His Word say something about it? Have you talked to a trusted, mature Christian friend? What is their advice? What do they have to say? And so if you need to make a very important decision, you need not to be real hasty. He who believes will not make haste. And so prayer, the Scripture, and friends. If it doesn't happen this week, it will probably happen in a week or two yet to come. And so let yourself give yourself to prayer just like David. It seems so simple. It seems so natural. This is what I ought to do. But he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord gives to him direction. And then we're simply reminded again, God has not called us as his disciples to a life of ease. No, we are called to a great conflict. We are called to do battle with the powers of darkness. We are called to do battle with that remaining sin in our bodies, our flesh. We are called to put forth resistance to the world. And then we're reminded again from this little episode in the life of David that the Lord puts you in a trial, and he brings another trial, and he brings another trial. That's how he brings a lot of us to maturity. By means of trial, we have to trust in him. We have to quit trusting so much in ourselves. And here is David. He's going to be king. And the other thing I want us to consider is this, is when it comes to this matter of the kingdom of God, when it comes to this matter of our own, perhaps, advancement in the kingdom of God, It's slow. David was anointed king. For 10 years, Saul chases him all over. Now he goes down to the men of Judah. They recognize him. 10 more years. You see, slow progress. God's not in a hurry. But we're always in a hurry. I get upset with my microwave. It says 23 seconds yet. That's terrible. But God slowly. And you notice the parables that Jesus put forth with reference to the growth, the development of the kingdom. 11! Slowly, slowly it permeates. It's like a seed in the earth. It takes time to germinate. It takes time, you see, for the plant to come up, for there to be any fruit. And so think of your own life. Hasn't it been kind of progressive? Oh, yes, little spurts of growth. But little by little, the Lord brings you along as far as your understanding, as far as your maturity, as far as your sanctification. And don't you sometimes look back and say, well, why didn't I see that before? It's plain as the nose on my face. Well, it was there. But you didn't see it. It's the Lord. It's the Lord who opens the eyes of the understanding. And he brings us along just as fast as he so pleases. And so we need to remember that. Yes, the growth of the kingdom. Yes, there's revival. Things happen suddenly. But those are rather rare, aren't they? But finally, with reference to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, what is David doing here? Well, he's doing a good deed. What is he doing? He's promoting peace. Promoting peace. And are we not told that we are peacemakers? Are we not told to live peaceably with all men as much as is possible? Now, my wife often says to me, you better choose your battles. Choose those battles. And it could be this coming week you've already planned about talking to someone and maybe laying them low. Choose your battles. Choose your battles. We are to be people of peace. I'm not talking about compromise or anything like that. But a lot of times we get into it and it is really foolish. And you remember what the proverb says, a brother offended is harder to win than the bars of a castle. And so think and pray and be patient. Amen. Let us be dismissed in prayer. Our Lord God Almighty, indeed it has been good to be in your house this day. For we have had the privilege of coming into your special presence. We thank you for the fellowship of the saints. We thank you for the privilege of reading and hearing your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we can lift up our voices together in praise to you. And oh, what a blessing it is to be able to pray together. And we have been able to do all this in peace and in freedom. We are mindful of those not with us because of traveling. Keep your good hand upon them. And Lord God, for those who are struggling with physical infirmities, oh, that you would show them mercy. Lord God, we desire that you would do great things in your kingdom this coming week. And Lord God, you might frustrate the plans of the wicked. And Lord God, you would protect your people, that you would guide them in pathways of righteousness. Give us wisdom for our decisions as we have prayed about already. And Lord God, might we enjoy great peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.